Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to our ICAD Task Force meeting. Sorry, getting a little bit of feedback. If we could ask everyone to mute your lines, please. Thank you. Of the task force members, we have Cheryl Turney, Alex Goss, Erin Neary, Alexis Snyder, Anil Jain, Denise Webb, Jim Jurgis, Ram Charan, Rich Landon, and Sasha Tomer. Are there any other members that are on the phone that haven't announced yet? Okay.
I'm Jocelyn's out here, Lauren. I'm sorry, I don't know if I heard you say my name.
Thank you, Kat and Jocelyn. Okay, Alex and Cheryl, I'll let you know if others join, but I'll turn it over to you. And just a reminder, if we can have everyone mute your lines, please, if you're not speaking. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And this is Cheryl Turney. Thanks, everybody, for attending today. We really appreciate it. Today, we're going to just do a very brief summary and action plan of what we talked about last week. And then we're going to go right into the document and review the report draft. And also, as we're doing that, focus on the synthesis that's been done to the broader intersection conversation that we finished up last week. So we can go ahead, and then we have public comment, and then the path to report submission. So let's go to the next slide. And there we go. So last week, we finished up our conversation on the broader intersection, and I think we had some great discussion. We had a lot of good material that came out of that meeting, and we have put that together in a narrative and it, added it to the document for those of you that were able to go into the Google document and add your comments and make some edits. We totally appreciate it. That's what we're going to be walking through today. If you have not had that opportunity yet, don't worry. You'll have another opportunity. Once we complete the work that we have today, we will be asking you again to take a second look at that document and make your edits. We have had multiple sessions offline in reviewing the document, adding narrative where there was narrative missing, adding introduction, and Susan, our editor, as well as others, have done quite a lot of work in terms of bringing that document to the current state that we find it in. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and move it over to our review of the document. Alex is going to bring the document up, and then we are going to begin our review. What we would ask you for today is to comment on material changes. Now, what we're going to do is review all of the comments that we have found as we have reviewed the document and made the edits and the updates. But due to timing and the amount of time we have in this session, we may have to edit the amount of time we spend on wordsmithing. So don't worry if something's not expressed the way that you would like it. You will have the opportunity to go in and make those edits after the meeting if we do not have the agreement or opportunity to finish those edits while we're meeting today. So with that as a setup, Alex, would you like to add any additional comments before we get started?
No, I really appreciate you framing up that the goal here is to process the comments that the task force has submitted since we released a complete draft on Friday, and to be able to know how to then further update the document before the next version will come out, which I hope might be Friday of this week. So I appreciate that Cheryl and I will have to tag team on keeping all of us from going down the natural slope of wordsmithing. So we'll capture notes as we've done before. I have the document displayed. We have added some comments initially to try to queue up a few people to take a look at a couple sections. I think Jim, Jocelyn, and Andy in particular, I can remember we made some assignments to. Others may have gotten them as well. We will start working through the comments. I think that's what we're going to do now. And then Cheryl and I are going to tag team on answering any questions that may come in. And so last week, we did share the outline of the report. That is the outline in which this draft was produced. So I'm not going to spend time going over that, but what I will do is start to go down to the first set of comments. And since there'll be some that'll be just like, hey, we need to fix, there's some opportunities for making things consistent, I think we can skip those and focus, if that's okay with everybody. We all know that we need to make sure that healthcare is either one or two words, for instance. And there may be some other similar comments that we can quickly glide over for final editorial resolution. However, there are some things that might have actual text changes, and we want to make sure that we're not unnecessarily impacting a meaning of something. So we want to make sure just if people are, you know, okay with sort of what we're suggesting throughout the comments. And so this will actually, for a lot of us, be the first time we've seen other people's comments. So we're going to take an interesting journey here today.
Well,
so the first.
Okay, go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
Please. No, go ahead, Cheryl.
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to dive in. That's all. I was going to say, should we do the first comment? Are there any questions about what I was saying? I'm not seeing any hands up. So there was. The first suggestion actually was something that I inserted here. It's easier to jump in to know where the comments are, that we have an opportunity to insert payer and provider before workflows, and that we really, and I provided sort of the example. I think this is a pretty small addition. And what I'm going to say is I'm going to work through comments. If they seem straightforward, we're going to think they're okay and move on. Unless somebody, you know, if there's discussion, then that'll be triggered by the co-chairs or one of the task force members. So as an approach, hopefully that works for everybody.
I agree, and I think that's a good approach. And the one comment that I made that we need to standardize throughout the paper, healthcare, whether it's one word or two, because it was in two different ways. So I originally put it together, and then I thought we should take it apart. So, you know, I don't care whatever it is. And then Denise has her hand up.
Well, thank you. Also, Arian is doing two words. So, Denise.
Okay. Hi. I just had one thing on this page that I think a word is missing. On the third paragraph, like the fifth line where it says navigating the prior authorization process, period. Third paragraph. Need to go down.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to edit something and the comment disappeared on me altogether. So if any of the task force members are in the document, please take your fingers off the keyboard for Emma editing. All right. third paragraph here.
Okay.
Is this the one you want me to be in?
Okay. So
that
go
was
to the
honor. Sorry. That was me.
Oh, smack your fingers, Cheryl. Okay.
Are you ready?
I am, Denise. Go for it.
Okay. Okay, in the fourth line where it says clinicians spend a tremendous amount of time that could be spent caring for patients, navigating the prior authorization process, I thought instead should be at the end of the sentence. So they're doing
okay.
That instead.
To end of sentence, Denise. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All righty. Okay.
No, just add the word instead at the end of the sentence.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. Add instead
to the
end of the sentence. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Gus.
Thanks, Alex. I did comment. I'm afraid it might not have taken, but that entire paragraph is very negative about prior auth, and I just want to provide, I provided in a comment one sentence on the fact that prior auth does have a positive effect, or done correctly, prior auth has a positive effect on both quality, cost, and there it is, also stops unnecessary care, reduces cost, and improves quality.
So generally, Gus, looking to be a bit more positive about PA.
Yeah. The entire, that paragraph implies, well, let's just get rid of it. But there is a reason it exists.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to, I'm not seeing any other hands up. I think what we're going to, I'm going to add a comment here that says, healthcare as two words to be the suggested norm. I will suggest that we would be trumped by that decision by the ONC style guide if they should have one. So stay tuned. All right. So the next comment we had, Alexis is suggesting that when we're working in this opening paragraph, we should be including references to patient caregiver burden reduction, and gives us a little bit of how we can do that. So seems reasonable, especially with our patient at the center focus. There was also some suggestions from Alexis about, and maybe I think she's on the call. Yes. Alexis, do you want to chime in here with me on what you're looking for as a modification here?
Sure. Are you looking at the highlight for the causing frustration and worry?
I am.
I think I commented this on this the same spot a while back on a draft, and maybe it got lost. But it just doesn't seem to be really conveying the I just saying causing frustration. It's really a lot more than frustration. It's just as much time spent and, being the go-between and all those pieces that we've talked about a lot on this task force. And so I'm just rereading my comment to see exactly what I was saying. I just feel like it's just missing that enormous, piece of how much the patient and or the caregiver are involved in pushing the PA process forward and how much time is spent. And I just don't want, this task force or ONC overall to just lose sight of that throughout the document, with just saying like, oh, and, it's clinician burden and then it causes frustration for patients.
That. Alexis, may I ask then if you could go back into the document and add the narrative that you're looking to have added instead of just being in the comments, put it in the document itself. And that way we'll be able to send that out to everybody for them to comment on. That way we'll capture it just the way you'd like to see it.
Oh, sure. I thought we only were supposed to put comments and not actually edit.
You are absolutely, both of you are spot on. Here's what I discovered today, folks. There is the suggesting tool. And so we thought we were only able to do comment box editing, Alexis. But what I think we've all, several creative people, I think Jocelyn broke the initial egg on this one. You can actually go in and actually edit words in here, which I didn't know that we were going to be able to do. So that is just an enhanced opportunity to make sure that we get the language as you think it should be presented. So if you could come back in, Alexis, to update text.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Because apologize for a little bit of that confusion. I know I was tripped up a little bit this morning myself when I was looking at things. Okay. So then, Jocelyn is encouraging us to use abrasion or friction in contrast to burden to give us a little bit of a easier word selection. So I think those are nice choices, and I'm going to say thank you and move on unless there's any discussion. Jocelyn, I see your hand is up.
I actually raised my hand when Alexis was talking because I think this point that she makes is a really important one, and I may have a little bit of a rant on the side column further down where when I sort of, went through, read the first part and got to sort of my editing job that I was responsible for. And I appreciate your kind words, but I would say I more just don't follow instructions very well and didn't know I wasn't supposed to be editing the document. So what became clear to me as I got into sort of the meat of the section that I was supposed to be editing was to Alexis's point, I feel like we've missed, I think, some of the really rich nuance of the conversation that we've been having, and that the way that the sort of entry point, I think it says some of the right things, but it's missing the tone of our conversation while we were sort of in the meat about what is that we can do to help things. And it's really about bringing the two sides of the world together, not the transactions. How do we bring administrative data and create transparency about patient benefits in workflow so that we can literally just take a ton of this waste out, because the data will become real, accurate, and relevant to the care team and to the patient while they're actually going through their care journey, versus being this activity that happens sort of outside of the mainstream. And so I'd really like us to look at those first couple opening paragraphs. And really, I feel like that's our opportunity to get people's attention, to really talk about like setting the bar higher. It's not about just reducing and putting the two things together so we can do prior auth faster. It's about really transparency, education, understanding about patient-specific benefits so that we can remove or reduce the need for prior authorization overall by creating better transparency between all the parties. I'm going to stop my rant now.
Okay, good, because I think I caught up to that and I made a statement there. So what you're looking for is so what I hear is that you have a general feel like we're missing something in this opening remark, opening section that hits the mark of the tone of what we're really trying to get at. As you were, we may come back to you on that.
I just think the opening paragraph is maybe where we set the bar higher than what current state is on all of us. Right? What is it that we should be doing? We should be transforming.
I understand. I'm in action mode, Jocelyn, about how to get
Sorry.
It done. I think I get your opinion or your what you're getting at, and I bit the apple. I was trying to figure out how to fix it, knowing that we're trying to get a whole new draft out by next Friday. So we're looking for people to say, hey, this could be better, and here's how to do it. And how do we do that? Because what I heard from you is a general tone that there's just like something that's just not hitting the mark. You know, like one of the things I've said in the past is, how is this going to be different? This opening needs to have that kind of oomph, and that's what I hear you speaking to. Okay. And I don't
And I'm sure a lot of work has gone into making sure there's multiple talking points in this I don't wanna minimize that. I just think it's about sort of maybe the structure or the organization of it. And Alex, I'm more than happy to work offline to wordsmith with you if you want. I just don't wanna undo somebody else's good work.
And that's actually, thank you. So that's why we're not going to get into wordsmithing today. As much as we can avoid it, we're going to stay focused at the high level. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to take this note and we'll figure out about what to do about it. I'm not going to get wrapped around that axle right now, but thank you for that. I'm not seeing any other hands up, so I'm taking that as task force agreement with what she's just offered, is that we can bolster the tone about raising the bar. Thank you on that. I'm going to move down to what I perceive as being the next comment. And is, Jocelyn, this part of what you were getting at in your remarks?
Yeah, I think you can skip this. So. It's just context and language while you're wordsmithing.
Okay. We'll just leverage it. Okay, because we got at the concept of what you were doing. All righty. I think we're all commenting on the one word, so I'm just going to delete this because we've already gotten to that thread of healthcare is two words. All right, so I was probably channeling a little bit of your tone concern in that I was proposing that maybe we needed to bolster the closing of the sentence. So this could tie into the enhancing the tone of why and the downstream value to the work or from the work we've done. Okay. All right. So the next, we have had at times, we've used the word electronic. I'm going to propose that when we talk about prior authorizations generally, that we might use digital over electronic to help for when we're talking about prior authorization, since I often think of EPA as more of the pharmacy prior auth effort, and I've been struggling with electronic being, we're trying to say not a phone, not a fax, not a paper, so I think we can use digital. But in this particular scenario or comment, there's a suggestion modifying the text, and I think that we it's pretty straightforward. We're getting at, and I jumped my comment in too early because it's this sentence down here that I was trying to get at, and I overlapped comments about the use of electronic versus digital. There's a few little editing gnats I'm going to skip over and go to the next comment that I see, which is from Alexis. However, I apologize. I was looking down and did not see that Denise raised her hand. Yes, Denise.
Oh, I think Alexis on her involvement comment is next, and then I have one on the next paragraph.
Not this one, but you are getting yourself in the queue. So, Alexis, do we want to talk about your comment about suggest avoiding the use of involvement, where involvement can merely mean informing someone, suggest enhancement or engagement or active participation?
Yeah, and I think we've actually changed that in a couple other places. So just consistency to not use involvement, because involvement is really more like you could just be telling somebody something and that's involving them. That's not really actively engaging somebody. So that's all, just to be consistent, because we've changed it in a few other places.
Thank you, Alexis. Denise?
I'll go ahead, and I actually think Anil has a comment on the first sentence of the next paragraph, but on the second sentence, I got tripped up on that because it said separation of these data may cause inefficient workflows, and it's not may cause, it does, or it has and continues to. So I'm suggesting instead of may, say has and continues to cause.
Sorry, Google Doc is not always my friend. Change may cause, has and continues to cause. Okay. Awesome. Got it. All right. So we had at the beginning of the sentence, Neil had made a comment, the historic separation between standards for clinical admin workflows has resulted in flexible, redundant processes, suggesting we make it historically standards for clinical admin workflows have been developed separately and resulting in misaligned and redundant processes. That looks okay to me. Any concern? Okay, seeing none. That was Denise's comment. We've got just a little word selection changed, and I'm going to skip over that. I was proposing that we may need to, when we're talking about workflows, we may need to be a little bit clearer about the workflows that we're referring to, and was thinking that we could add clarity around provider EHRs and systems might help explain what we're thinking about in this final sentence. Any hands up? Alexis's next comment is in the following paragraph about accessing administrative data can improve providers' understanding of their of the care their patients have received in other places. And there's a note that you're not quite following it, Alexis, and a reword might be needed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more, I mean, I think I understand what we wanted to say. I just think it needs to be reworded for somebody reading it the first time. So I'm pretty sure we're trying, as we've said before, to just be transparent with price information up front so that those shared decisions during appointment can be made based on price factor as well. But when I read this sentence, it just sounds like we're saying that the provider should have all the claims data no matter where a patient is seen to understand what's going on with their care elsewhere. And I don't think that's what we're saying. So I think we just need to fix it so it doesn't sound like that. And of course, the end of my sentence should say, regardless of site, not site as in vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. I really feel like the cost transparency aspect mixed in the second part of the sentence, because when I read the first part of the sentence, it is about your care can be improved because that provider could learn about you had a test or something else from another provider, and that can make a difference for in the EHR environment to know that those things have happened. And I thought it was just more about, truly, when I read that, I thought it was just about the care coordination aspect of it, so because you knew something had happened. And so I think as you brought up the point, I'm hearing that it's sort of, we've got claims data and price information, but we don't really close the loop and get at that transparency aspect. So that's where I'm seeing a gap, and I saw Jocelyn's hand come up. I'm not sure if she's – is it on this particular point, Jocelyn?
It is, and I think this gets at the heart of what I was talking about earlier, is I think we talk about administrative data here, but what we're really talking about is data that is clinical but could be inferred from a claim. But to Alexis's point, I think this key point here is I want my provider to know enough about my benefits and not my – claims data, but my benefit information. And to your point, I read it the same way you did after I was like, why are we talking about claims here? I did think that it's important to ensure that the provider has a complete picture of the patient, either through other clinical data provided by the payer or clinically inferred data through claims would be invaluable. But I feel like the intent of this whole paragraph was to get at the tell me enough about my stuff up front so we can have a real discussion about what my options are before you go into a prior auth, not about care coordination. While important, I don't think was really the intent that we were trying to get at here.
Alexis. Oh, up, down. No, you don't want to make a comment?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that because Jocelyn had started to say that that care coordination piece could be really great, but then she said, but that's not what we're trying to get at. So that's why I took my hand out. Because I agree. I don't think that's what we're trying to get at. If it is, then I think that we need to change something.
Got it. Denise, thank you.
If we're done with this paragraph, I have a comment on the next paragraph.
Okay. This one?
Right. So as I read this paragraph, it struck me that integrating clinical and administrative data is not really what enables interoperable exchange. And to make this paragraph align with the second paragraph that's in the next section, I would like to suggest we say harmonizing clinical and administrative data standards and policies can enable interoperable electronic exchange and so forth.
I could not follow that. I couldn't type all that. So
what I can do is I can type that up in the document so that gets added as a comment. But the big thing is integrating clinical and administrative data is not what enables interoperable exchange. In my mind, it's harmonizing, using the word harmonizing on the beginning of that sentence, harmonizing clinical and administrative data standards and policy can enable exchange, that the rest of that phrase, and data integration at the end of that phrase. So I just, the way this is worded, it doesn't even align with the second paragraph in the next section, which basically reiterates that point that I just made.
Yes, I'm tracking with you. Yes, I can, the new, what you've just said, you will give us as far as suggested edits, I think will go a long way in bolstering that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and write it up. I just didn't have time to go in. I wrote this all in a hard copy.
I so appreciate that you even had the time to find the time to do the review. So I appreciate that. I know this is a pretty tight turnaround for everybody. And for those of you who haven't, just please remember you're going to get another chance to look at it before it goes to high tech. All right, so the next comment, Alexis, I think, is the next one. Sorry, I was just looking to see if anybody had their hands up. This is a revision, just if we're talking, I think there's a sequencing flow that you're suggesting that when we're talking about it.
I was just suggesting really easily flipping patients and clinicians. If we're talking, you know, if our first, we've talked so much about patient centeredness and it's our first GP, that it just makes sense to say patients and clinicians.
I'm going to say okay and move on. Next one, in the next paragraph where we're talking about steps to implement the strategy, and you have a comment on burden.
Yeah, it just says clinician burden. Like in a couple other places, we've corrected that to either all stakeholders or clinician and patient burden, or we're just, missing that patient caregiver burden piece.
Yeah,
so just being consistent.
Cool. This is exactly why we need everybody looking at it. So thank you. Hands up. I made a suggestion that we maybe could reference the when we talk about previous work. Here's a place where we could reference the compendium. There's a tremendous amount of work that we have stood on the shoulders of coming into this task force, and so I thought it might make sense to add a reference to the compendium that we all started out with, and most appreciative to Andrew, who's been maintaining that throughout our journey, including the addition of all the presentations from industry. So I'm going to suggest that we could do a nod to that compendium in this early front matter. I'm hoping that's okay with folks.
I agree, Alex.
Okay. Thank you. I think that sometimes when you reference trademark things, you have to make sure you got it right. And I think we need to double check on the usage of how you can reference fire and the trademark. So I just wanted to comment that we need to do that because I think there are different rules and I don't know all of them. So we can clean that up in editorial at land. I think I was looking to possibly close out this final paragraph with bringing back in the patient experience to end it. We're going to make some changes above, so I think this is okay, but we need to factor in other edits and be consistent. If we've made other edits above it, what I was getting at may have already been addressed. So we'll make sure to take a look at that. Suggesting that this section that was labeled high-tech NCVHS and the ICAD project and task force could be made a little bit, could be slightly revamped to say high-tech NCVHS and the task force charge, sort of to link those all together. I think we can consider that in editorial land if nobody has any objections. I think suggesting we're including a reference to the year that NCVHS was created, because it was created in 1949 and has had a long history, and I thought that was an important context to give, especially it paralleled with how we've referenced a few other things. Going down. I had suggested, okay, so let me kind of orient us as to where we're all at in this point. I've moved into some of the preamble, setting of the stage. We're now getting into really the establishment of the project and the task force, and talking about how we were composed. And I've drafted a few edits and a new closing sentence, and provided my suggested text in the comment box. To just bolster and maybe bolster the sentence or paragraph a bit. I'm not going to read to everybody. I'm going to hope when I'm saying okay, it's like I'm not hearing an objection. We'll work through it in editorial review. Cheryl and I have with Susan and staff about 4 to 5 hours worth of editing resolution that we're going to comment resolution that we're going to work through later this week in support of the draft coming out. Task force. We like healthcare is one word. I think sometimes you capitalize task force and other times you don't. Just want to make sure we were being consistent and accurate in how we're using that. I'm going to leave that to the editor. If that's okay with everybody. Okay, so now, Cheryl, there's a comment about add paragraph. Did you insert a paragraph? Is that what I'm breaking this apart? You already inserted it.
Yeah, I inserted it.
All right. Anil is up next with a comment. Was talking about the task force creating a basic clinical workflow diagram and your comments.
Yeah, I just think that it's not a basic or a clinical workflow. It's really a typical multi-stakeholder workflow.
Okay.
I mean, the
like
word clinical and it's not really basic. We spent a lot of time on that.
Okay, because you're right, it is multiple. It's more than clinical. So I think that's a really good revision, Mike. Thank you. Couple inline suggestions for using Jocelyn's Caring Forward with friction over burden. And we've discussed this a little bit earlier, so I'm just going to keep moving. I think they're pretty straightforward. Okay, so now we have asked Jim and Jocelyn to do a bit of wordsmithing here. I know Jim had a comment box that he's going to be getting into more of his homework assignment on that one shortly, and it looks like Jocelyn has been busy editing in line, making suggestions. So, Jocelyn, would you any general comments about this? Because I think you have actually, because you discovered or broke the rules and was able to actually edit in line, you've made it's very you've what I'm believing is that the work that you had previously done in synthesizing with Jim and probably with Josh Harvey's support have gone in and done a rework cleanup of this whole section and embedded all your edits. So is there anything globally you'd like to offer us about that or to cue us in on something you want us to look at? Otherwise, what I'm going to suggest is we can all review, task force members can all review your edits, and we can take those forward with our into our wordsmithing exercise over the next 2 days.
I think there's probably two observations I would make as people read the edits, especially you, Jim. I think that I was grounding it in sort of where it fits in the document, and I think that one of the things I think that is important for us to look at is really grounding that what we're describing in these tables and sort of this analysis of what's out there already in the market is more based on what are the steps that somebody needs to go through to actually make a clinical order, recommendation, path of, care plan, it's not about the prior authorization, that really these steps that we're talking about are the activities that need to happen to get somebody on therapy. And so I reworded it sort of with that vein. And then the second piece was, we've used this word data classes that came up in one of our early calls when we really talked about sort of looking at this as sort of more tabular data. And I'm not sure what the right answer is, but as folks are editing, I might challenge. I feel like data class might be too technical, like a modeling language terminology, when that's not what we're really doing. We're sort of a level above that. And so I'd like input from folks to understand, how would you describe this sort of generalization we're doing around the steps of workflow and the, you know, sort of the role of how to alleviate and reduce the need for prior authorization by getting better at each of these steps about making the data more transparent. Thanks, Alex.
Okay. I hope I captured that enough. To try to give.
And there's no pride of ownership on any of it.
Okay. All right. So I know that sometimes with the editing that the comment boxes, it makes the document jump around. So I apologize to everybody. Alexis, I think you're looking to look at roles and stakeholders section here. And she's reading as we're going. So Jocelyn made a number of edits in here, so I'm going to continue, and I'm going to probably make you dizzy, Alexis, as I'm going to keep scrolling.
That's okay. I was just, while you were talking about the other one, I just wanted to read what it was saying.
Oh, good. All right, so
I'll
Cheryl's also done
it.
Thank you. Cheryl's had some other edits in there in line. The rest of these, I believe, are all Jocelyn. And so what I'm hoping is that when Jim, you have an opportunity to have some quality time with the Google Doc, you can focus here, especially because I want to make sure that you and Jocelyn are very aligned, since you've really been doing the yeoman's list on this section.
Yeah, I have a date with the document tomorrow.
All right, awesome. Okay, so I'm seeing the next comment that I got in there that's not from Jocelyn is from Anil. And he's just offering a further wordsmithing kind of exercise about handoff rather than reusing workflow. And I think that's sort of a nice pivot for us to consider. Hopefully that's okay with everybody else. Okay. All right, so scrolling down, she's got lots of edits in here. Cheryl's also fixing a few typos and just doing some further cleanup in that section. Those look all to me like pretty straightforward edits. So I'm now moving to the next one, about the need to standardize the table descriptions, top, bottom, and some formatting. And I think that's a great comment, that's a final cleanup work that we could possibly do. But I do think that we have to have at least some preliminary, making it at least stable before it can go to high tack. So I think that's something that we can take a look at over the next couple of days. Jocelyn's got some further comments in this section, which appeared to track with the two themes of overview that she gave us a few moments ago. Editing documents. Okay, coming down. So hopefully you're not all getting squeezy. She's cleaning up some repetitive words again and just overall strengthening the tables. So, Jocelyn, you look like you spent a lot of quality time in here yesterday. Thank you. And okay. I know I wanted to ask a question to you, Jocelyn and Jim. One of the things that I notice is in table 3, we use the word proprietary. And then in table 4, for a separate thing, proprietary. Are we all okay with multiple uses of those words in this section? That we're not going to we're not going to confuse people that weren't in our conversations?
You know what, Alex, can you just tag it and I'll take a look at it when I go back. I think the tables themselves, you know me, I love data to be visualized. I think the tables themselves need a lot of work. And we had decided not to do any work on the tables, figuring that the ONC team has graphics folks that do a good job with that. But I might try and simplify them so they're easier to read on a single page and condense them just formatting wise so that we can really hone in on where we've got discrepancies across three or four tables when I go back in.
Is the concern about the use of the word proprietary that people don't know what we mean by that? Is that what you're
That or that it's that you're using it in table four, proprietary is defined, you know, these solutions. And I just want to make sure that we're not going to, I think they're all synced. I just realized there was multiple words and sometimes we're using them in different tables. I just want to make sure I look at it to ensure we won't create any confusion.
I think we're being
confusion.
Consistent, but I think that we need to me-see ourselves, right? Make sure that we're not connecting correctly.
So the other thing you said, Jocelyn, that I want to come back to is that you were talking about cleaning this up and we really don't have the ability to go out to get a graphics team to come in the next week and get that done. Maybe for a final report we might. So these tables need to be stable, I would say, by Thursday. If you're looking at monkeying with them, we need to think about how that works with the editing exercise and getting a new version out. So maybe as you start to look at...
If we're not going to have anybody doing design work, Alex, I will actually look to make them look better. I didn't want to spend time on them if somebody else was going to come and do that, but I'll try and work to make sure that we can better condense the information so you can get to what's important in the table. We just got the data in. Figuring out somebody else is going to be doing formatting initially.
Got these. Okay, I'm really appreciative trying to make these look more graphically.
It'll be skill building to see how good my table skills from Google.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm getting a little bit of...
Alex, and we do have a couple people with their hands up, but I do think that we shouldn't be using the same term in two tables because it's confusing, and that was a good pickup.
Thank you. So Kim and Josh can look at that in their final edits just because you're looking at it one last time. And so I think Denise is up next.
I have a question. So when you said get these stabilized by Thursday, I wasn't going to say anything about this, but if you're trying to stabilize the text in here, on table three and table four, I'll just give you one example. We say that like on emerging in table three, the task force deems the information needs described in a particular data class met by a given, is it our met? I feel like there's something missing there on all of these, like the word ARE in front of met on the next three cells, as well as in table four. Or am I just not reading this correctly?
I apologize. I was trying.
I think you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like the word R met on merging available and in use. And then the same thing on table four. I don't know if we're keeping unclear in here, but it was in there. And all of them in the table four, all the cells, we need the word R met.
I'm going to put a comment in here.
Yeah, I read it several times to see if
in
I was missing something. Sometimes when you read it.
Yeah, no, Denise, I think you're totally right. And when I went back to read this last night, I stopped myself from ripping the table apart because I want to deduce the repetitive words and slim down the text so it just becomes more readable. And I think that we have sort of a first attempt at that, and I think we just need to spend some time on it. But I went back and I was like, what were we doing here 2 months ago?
That's okay. I just wanted to mention that in case this really does, you're trying to finalize this by Thursday, the text.
The best of our ability to get us.
Let you know that, I'm sorry, my VPN went down, so I'm trying to get back in.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel your pain there. Okay, so Alexis, I think your hand is up.
I just,
Yeah, just a quick question as far as cleaning up and the conversations we're having now. Did you want us spending time line editing rather than just content editing as we went through the document? Because there's a lot of spots like that. I mean, editing is part of what I do on a regular basis, but I didn't put any line edits or change anything because I thought we had an editor that was going to do that.
Well, we're trying to get
typos and unclear wording here and there.
Yeah, because we had a lot to try to blend together and build out
right.
to get a cohesive draft report. So this is about the next round of all right, plugging the big holes and smoothing it out. So I'm wondering then, Alexis, if what you do as part of your day job and fun with pencils, perhaps maybe we can put that in a queue and that we're going to have a debrief as we normally do after the task force call. And then we have several meetings of several hours in duration to get through detailed review of all of these comments and figure out what it means in line. So maybe what we can do is if we need someone to help us, maybe we can tap into you. I also think that your suggestion about, like, if you want me to inline edit, I can do that. We were trying to figure out how best to keep people focused and not to get ourselves too far afledged from the master source document. And how do we
right.
manage
well,
all these incorporating
question.
Of edits?
Yeah, that was my question.
I don't have,
like, as I read through it, I saw lots of things that need line edit, but I just skipped over them because I was like, we're supposed to just look at the content and it's a lot to get through, right?
It is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to queue up a discussion with Cheryl and our editor,
okay.
Susan, for 4:30 to figure out how we can
okay.
not only tap into your expertise, but other people who might have the ability to do that kind of support because we're moving so hard and fast. We would have hoped we would have had a few more iteration cycles before we
yeah, so just let me know before I do the next, like, read through it to add the sentence editing that you wanted me to add, because I'll go through it again and change typos and stuff if you really want. I just didn't do it. Like, I see lots of people saying healthcare is two words and this and that, but
yep.
it just
no,
makes
I
our
will,
task force end up spending a lot of time on that.
Yes, and we don't need to do that. So I will follow up. One of us will follow up with you, whether it's me or Cheryl, after we have a chance to confer. Thank you for that level of support there. I'm just making myself a separate note. Okay, let's scroll down now. This is okay. So Jocelyn's still making some edits there. We know the tables are going to get smooshed, especially when we're working in with comment boxes. We've got a couple word choice selections. We'll pick those up as we move forward. I think there's a suggestion that I'd like to make about the need to work on this paragraph and finding summary. And it could be that we need to segue from around PA, and I think really is within PA now with Cheryl's edits, to what follows to help show the interplay with the rest of the transaction ecosystem under HIPAA and link to the certified health IT products. So I feel like there's a way, sort of this introduction on the finding from the state of existing standards needs to have a little bit more of a build out. And I think I've created sort of the concepts of what needs to be built out, looking to see how that's landing for others. And if you think that my suggestion on where we would head is valid, that the opening two paragraphs here could be bolstered a bit to give a little bit more context. And so link it to the HIPAA and health IT product world. Any concerns where that generally is headed? Okay. All right. I made a suggestion about ending the X12 opening sentence about cementing the industry's investment through the HIPAA regulations for medical transactions, because I was also thinking it was important to set some context about where X12 plays in the standards ecosystem. Denise.
Just a minor suggestion on our headlines, like where it says X12N, and then we have NCPDP, and then we have HL7. It might be nicer to sort of state the full name of that standard, and then the typical nomenclature they use for that category of standard. So health level 7, HL7 in parentheses, standard, and say the word standard, and then that introduces that next section is going to talk about that. Just a suggestion.
So how does that, so X12 is, that doesn't, it's not like HL7, it's just X12. And then you, because nobody really knows what the N is for unless you're in that world and know that it's the insurance subcommittee.
Well, maybe just add the word standard after that one.
X12 standard, but so this is where we're getting into a little bit of the nit and the gnat, and I probably know too much.
Okay.
We can, because it's.
I don't. Yeah, I know.
Well, X12 has a base standard from which implementation guides are written. So the technical reports that are implementation guides are separate from the base X12 standard. So the technical report is the standard in this case, not X12. So I'm going to wrap us around an axle. I'm not going to go there. And the point being is that the idea, Denise, is to enable a reader to understand.
Just a headline. Because when you read the first sentence,
in the
industry has a longstanding investment in X12N standards. So isn't that what the discussion is in this section, is on those standards?
Okay.
And transaction sets?
Yes.
It just helps the reader, guide them to sections.
I'm just taking a couple notes so that we can talk about it later. Okay, thank you. I'm not seeing any hands up, but I see Rich is typing. So, okay. I noticed that we introduced the 275 in here, but we really hadn't explained what that is, and so I've suggested actual text for providing context about what the 275 is and how it's, and then some subsequent revisions in this section. I think we need to be a little bit more clear about explaining attachments and the linkage with X12 because it sets up some of the recommendations that we have later on. And so I just tried to strengthen that section and crafted the text. So you guys can all take a look at that if you would like. Further just sort of tying things together on authorities, a little bit tighter back to our laws. And I see that Alexis is typing a comment about index or glossary. There is going to be a very extensive glossary that we've actually started working on so far. We've been able to leverage the, keep me honest here, Cheryl, there was another report that we started with as a basis out of the high tech group. Was it annual report?
That's correct, Alex, the annual report.
Yeah, so we're going to have a very extensive glossary, and that'll be part of the cleanup work that we need to do. So you guys can stay tuned for seeing that artifact as it gets cleaned up, but we're starting with a prior art. This is a note of cleanup work. I wanted to clarify, but the NCP. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I apologize for interrupting. This is Denise, and I do have to hop off. I just wanted to ask one thing of my fellow committee members. If you get to the section on guiding principles, before the end of the call. We wrote those all in the verb tense. Everything is should be this, should be that, should be. If you all look at the privacy and security section, we wrote it in ideal state language, meaning this is, we use the present tense is to describe ideal state. So if you all might consider that we rephrase all of our contributions in that. So for instance, reduction of burden on the patient and caregiver should be, well, if you're describing ideal state, you would say is the driving force, not should be. So for an example of that, if you look at the principle under privacy and security, we wrote it as present tense ideal state, as if this is where we want to be. It actually is the state of affairs. You following me?
I think we have, we may, so we have, I'm watching the chat box and I'm seeing Anil say that didn't we already change all those in prior edits? Then Alexis is saying, agreed, I made that same comment in a while back and we were told editor was going to be the one to fix and keep consistent. I think we've been trying to, so we may have some stylistic differences and we also may just have some crunch time dynamics happening. So we can, I've captured the comment here.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that because I did notice I was on that work group on privacy and security, and we wrote them so that they were in the ideal state format, as this is what the world looks like if we're in the ideal state. Rather than saying it should be this, we say it is. Okay, I got to hop off. I just wanted to make sure I contributed that, and I'll shoot some comments over to you all too as well.
Well, thank you. Look forward to that.
Thanks.
Have a good rest of your day. I forget, where were we? Sorry, folks. I have to go back to where we were. Okay, we were up here. Okay. I have a question, and I don't know if this is feasible because I know some things are very specific and they're written for lots of good the way they are. In the NCPDP draft, there was a section about the EPA workflow to transaction task group under work group 11. I was wondering if there was any, I'm not an NCPDP person, so I wondered if there was a way to sort of maybe elevate that a little bit in its representation without losing meaning. And I know Jocelyn is on NCPDP. I'm not sure if there are other task force members that have that sort of interaction and experience to know if we could make this a little bit easier for a reader to absorb.
So that's the specific name, amazing as that might seem, for the actual task group that deals with EPA. Just because of the way that NCPDP is structured, there's about 10 named work groups, and then there are pretty robust task groups that work on specific transactions under those work groups. So work group 11 is e-prescribing. And then under e-prescribing, EPA is the actual, that is, I say that at the beginning of every one of my task group calls over and over.
Okay, so what I'm saying is it is accurate. Like there is no monkey, there is no stripping it down.
Actually the name.
I get it.
What you could call out that it's work group 11, which is the e-prescribing work group, but I didn't include it because it wasn't relevant for this audience. That's where the action
happens. I am sure that the happy trails of the world will lead us to the right answer on that. So I'm going to leave it as is for now and going to move on.
And I can ping Margaret, or Margaret, send me an email if you're listening, if there's a better way to say it.
I don't think she's on the call. Okay. So we'll have to follow up with her. Okay. Oh, Jocelyn, there was a request put out to you down below here because it was NCPDP related, and I don't know if you actually got there because you were doing so much editing above. There was a question about the phrase with draft solutions, early pilots of draft solutions, or pilots that have produced draft solutions. We wanted to make sure that it was accurate. Does anybody have any information about the early pilots?
You know what? Can you just, am I tagged there? I'll go in and reword. Because what I did is I mushed together that there are pilots happening both in NCPDP, well, actively being used at NCPDP, and then pilots in HL7. So I'll just probably break it into two separate sentences for clarity.
Got it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, that's about the specialty. Yeah, no, I'll clean it up. It's a good point. And to your point, I probably know more than I should. I can probably simplify it to just talk about NCPDP. They just happen to be leveraging FHIR for that particular pilot.
Yeah, okay. So maybe there's a phone a friend that maybe isn't as so close to it that could help you in the task force. So think about that too. Because sometimes if we're too close, we're not the right person to do that when we're trying to write for a generic, you know, for an audience that may not be as in the weeds as we are. So if you need support there, please let us know. Okay. We have no comments. Okay, so we were looking, actually, I don't know, is Andy on the call today? We had done a shout out for Andy in his role with NHL7. We thought he might be a useful resource to help enhance this section. So hopefully he'll be able to give us some input on that. I'm going to move forward to findings and recommendations. We're going to get into this section. I'm mindful that we do have public comment period at 4:20. So let's see what we can do in the next 12 minutes. Made some editorial suggestions just about one of the things that in this section that we're struggling with, and we will probably continue to struggle with over the next couple of days, is that so much of the work that we did was prior authorization focused. And as we took over a month's worth of conference calls to look at the broader intersection discussion and to look at the synthesized data from the prior authorization work, it became pretty clear that we had actually addressed a number of the broader intersection areas. And so I think we just have a little bit of cleanup work to get this section to flow more smoothly when we're telling the bigger picture story and using prior authorization as an exemplar. And so my opening remark was sort of to try to set the stage for that bigger picture and tying it to prior authorization as we move forward. I'm hoping everybody's okay with that, meaning that we can start to work to try to incorporate that with the editor. That's all an okay means. I'm not seeing any comments or hands up. And I think this is a part of my other comment about the stronger, and this is just another, this is a discrete comment to a verbal remark that I've just provided to you. So I'm going to just move on. May benefit from a new section header, guiding principles. I think I'm going to skip over this because I think that's an editorial cleanup work that we don't need to discuss now. We've got to think about how we capitalize principles, and also I think we want to not use the word guide when we're talking about guiding principles. It gets a little confusing, and I'm going to suggest that we use the word maybe steer or some other word to bolster the front matters and lead-in section to the ideal state, and which precedes the guiding principles. Okay, not seeing comments or hands raised. We had, during prior discussions, talked about an additional principle, so we've added it into the table here. Formatting
you
suggestions.
You do have a hand up.
Thank you, Alexis.
Oh, no, my hand was up for this next piece that you were just talking about. So
Okay. Later
on in another point, when we get down towards the bottom of the document and get to that guiding principle, I made some comments, but I'll just say overall here that if we are going to keep this as a ninth guiding principle, all of the language that's currently in it is not about all stakeholders. It's all clinicians. So we just really need to revisit that if we're going to keep it, because it certainly doesn't go with reduced burden for all. And like I said, the comments are in that section when you get there.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Jill's suggesting some additional, oh, she actually added the text. We already got Denise's comments about consistent language. And so now the next comment is from Alexis. And we are in patient at the center in the fourth bullet. Multiple insurance plans should be accounted for and COB made available to the patient so they better understand the benefits and how they apply.
I can't see it. Can you scroll down?
Is that better? Sorry.
Oh, you know what? I think it's me. I think my computer just got stuck with where you.
Okay, so what I'm...
Now I see it. Yep, I caught it.
Okay.
I just wanted to see. I had to think about what it was I commented on. So I was saying, I wasn't sure if this got added or changed recently because, you know, Anil and I had spent a lot of time in this area and I didn't catch it if it was there in the beginning, but I think it somehow got changed. So it doesn't seem to capture what we keep talking about with how multiple benefits and multiple payers don't really talk to each other or aren't transparent so that they can actually sync up the coordination. So like one company says something's covered, the other one doesn't cover that, and so you can't get it multi-covered. Or even get it approved. And so this just doesn't say that. This just says that so that the patient can understand how their benefits work. And it's not that the patient needs to understand that. The patient knows how it works. They're just not working together. Does that make sense? And if you want me to go in and actually try to change language and edit, I can look at that one too.
I think that would be great. This is Cheryl, because I'm not understanding where you're going with it. So I would appreciate that.
So it does not take up too much time, but it says that patients need to understand how their benefits work, and that's not the problem. They don't need to understand how it works. The coverage, they don't line up. They don't coordinate with each other. So you can have one company saying that it needs a PA and that it's covered if you get it, and the other company saying we don't cover it at all, so no, you can't get it. They just don't work together. And we've spent a lot of time talking about coordination of benefits.
Okay. So thank you for being willing to edit that. There had been discussion around, this is a comment for you all to review, I don't need to cover it, some formatting spacing fixes, some additional, we're just calling out notes in regards to some of our prior discussion. I'm not sure, Michael, if you're online.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I'm thinking that this was just a calling out of a point that you've made and from our incorporation of the broader intersection discussions, and Susan captured it in here just to make sure that people were aware of sort of how we had done some things from the incorporating the broader intersection into the guiding principles work we did under prior auth.
Yeah, I think that comment doesn't really... was more explanatory for how I moved things around in the editing, and if folks find it useful, keep it. If they don't, drop it.
Okay, so you're looking for feedback. So task force, please let us know if this insertion is okay, and if not, how, where might we better address price transparency aspects. Okay.
Yeah, that's good translation.
Right. Thank you. There was an opportunity. This is a consistency thing. Sometimes we actually restate the principle, and in this one, for some reason, we didn't. We just said this principle, unlike where we were doing it above, where we're say the principle of transparency in this case. So I'm just going to move on from that. It's an opportunity for the editor to address. There was a suggestion about the staging of the proposal, and that at the top of this, so we're now in measurable and meaningful. We have in our second bullet, we start out saying 95%, but then in the sub bullets, we really address an iterative approach. And I think we need to do some qualifying of that. And that was a suggestion that was by our editor, and I'm encouraging that to occur. If you disagree, please. One of the things that we haven't talked about and I wanted to get some reaction to was when we're discussing that the PA responses, you know, we're talking about this efficiency now of, you know, clear decisions, related determinations, and having those communicated to applicable stakeholders, and that we're looking to sort of in this ideal state of tracking them so we can provide metrics on approvals, denials, and so that this can also be made available to stakeholders. I wondered if there was an aspect of mining the data to identify entities with better rates that will give us an analysis basis for best practices and opportunities for improvements. And we didn't talk about the mining aspect in here. So I'm not sure if I've gone too far on that suggestion, but I am looking for specific feedback. And nobody would have seen that because it was an epiphany I had and added 15 minutes before the start of this call. So, task force, please weigh in on suggestion. There are some comments here. What I think, Lauren, do you want me to stop and go to public comment now? Or do you want me to just keep going for 2 more minutes?
Why don't you keep going?
Okay. This is a clarifying comment I made to an editor question to help her understand sort of the nature of what we were getting at in that paragraph. You can all weigh in on whether you agree with my input to her or not. One of the things that we've struggled with is that real-time data capture and workflow automation is a really long list, and it is not like the other guiding principles in that it has now 13, the baker's dozen of suggestions in it. And I'm going to suggest that we leave it there for now, but if we get the chance, we might be able to come back and group these into sort of higher level characteristics, and then these bullets might become more like examples. And so time permitting, I think that's something we'll try to do. But for now, I think I'm going to move on to the next comment. This was a note to let folks know how we've been moving some stuff around. Alexis had made a comment in this section on real-time automation and workflows about adding shared decision-making as well as patient as an independent thinker. I think this goes with a lot of the other comments that we've been making, so I think discussing today, so I'm going to suggest that we accept that for incorporation. Unless there's any concerns with that. And to close out this section, I struggled with number 13. If portals are used, they should integrate into workflows. And I kept tripping over this because by nature, a portal is outside of a workflow. Does no special effort refer to investment or usage, meaning that a browser launch to use the portal comports with the guiding principle? And Gus has given us some feedback that, no, it's not really desirable, but is this really even achievable? So maybe it's little or no special effort, which is what he is suggesting. So I think I'm out of time because it's time for public comment period.
Great. So we'll get the phone number pulled up. We'll ask the operator to open the public line.
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Thank you, and hopefully folks have had time to dial in, but I'll ask if we have any comments in the queue so far.
There are no comments at this time.
Okay, I'll hand it back to you, Alex.
Hey, this is Arian. I'd like to insert myself in the queue relative to special effort.
Hi. You have the floor, Arian.
Awesome. So the term no special effort comes from the IEEE definition of interoperability, which is picked up in the Cures Act. And I would encourage us not to change the word no special effort. And then, you know, with respect to integrating a portal, there are all kinds of ways via single sign-in in context that where one could imagine a portal that could use Firebase activity, yada, yada, yada. But the meta intent here was to say, well, we didn't want to say you can't use portals. We didn't want to say you can't go out of your way in workflow. But we wanted to say, if you have a portal, you also need to deploy the same capability in ways that require no special effort by the clinician, practitioner, or extender.
So, Arian, do you think you could maybe go in and make a suggested revision to that? Because
I don't know that it needs a revision, I guess is all I'm saying.
Okay, well, because I'm getting a little... I understand your comment about no special effort has a very historical meaning to it, but I don't understand how if you use a portal and they integrate into workflow, what does that really mean? Does that mean that it launches from your EHR? Is it acceptable that you have to leave your EHR to go to a browser?
So the answer to the second question would be no. And again, I think we're just getting into details where we should state the principle that we're not. The principle here is that we're not saying, you know, burn all your portals. We're saying make sure that any functionality, any data, anything that you have in a portal is also available in ways that require no special effort. Does that make sense? And I'm more than happy to go in
do editing. I'm sorry. It actually does not make sense to me.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense to me because if you're not integrated, why would –
Yeah, so let me give you.
I think what you're going to say is if you're, because I think the challenge for me here is direct data entry here is not actually no special effort. It is effort
So let me give you.
I don't want to get wrapped around this
It's cool, but let me just give you an analogy to make sure that you and I are at least speaking the same, are saying the same thing, and maybe using different words. So if I list the PTA agenda on the PTA's webpage, this is going to be a super convoluted example. I'm going to withdraw my example and say, you know, if I've got a calendar and it requires me to go to some place to go get my calendar information, that's a pain in the butt. But if I also make exactly the same information available via standards so that it can get integrated into my calendar app, then we're not saying burn your calendar. Your calendar, you have to go out of the way. If we're saying make the same information available in a way that requires no special effort. And I think this is a wordsmithing, not an intent. So hopefully that was
helpful. So let me interrupt you. Let me say it's really about giving the end user the choice. Portal functionality
Correct.
Is also available in an integrated solution. Get
Correct.
Out of telling people how to do it, but give them the flexibility to pick, and they can do it. If they want to do the portal, let them do the portal. But if they're going to have a portal capability, you better have it integratable and, like, a.k.a. use a fire or something to integrate.
Correct.
I think you now – you have helped me not be confused. Thank you,
awesome.
Arian.
Cool.
All right. And these are portal functionality development integrated solutions need to do both, not just have the portal. Okay, I can buy into that. All righty, thank you. All right. All right, we have 4 minutes left. Cheryl is continuing to have some hiccups with her technology. This seems to be her week. I had it last week. So I think where I'm at is we got down to Principle G. And so there's plenty more for folks to take a look at. We've gotten, surprisingly, at least two-thirds of the way through the paper. We've nearly finished up the guiding principles, and the section that's left are the recommendations. And as you can tell, they're pretty solid for what you've seen before. What is different is that there were a few tweaks that Rich had made, and we just made sure that people were aware what those tweaks were. He did some cleanup work from our prior discussions. And what we would see is that recommendation 14 and 15 have been added. Anil has weighed in on those as well. He's clearly got through the document. And that we've had, thanks to a comment by Alexis, but more especially a build-out by Cheryl, we have a start of a conclusion. With that said, I believe that we need to go back to the closing, to the slide deck, please.
And, thank you.
There you go. Thank you, Cheryl. I think you need to go back up one slide.
Yeah, I can't see the slides either, so I apologize.
Oh, okay. So, no, I apologize. Actually, I was wrong. The one that follows is the one I was thinking about. So the slide that's up now is talking about next week, and that the goal will be that folks can weigh in with their comments and edits. Hopefully you can do that within the next 24 hours. We'll be working over the next couple of days to try to get a new version of this out. I don't know if it's by Friday or not, but that might be a goal that we take on after we debrief after today's call. The key thing is that we need to submit a report to HITACH next week. That draft report submission will provide the ability for us to give them an update the following week and to receive some thoughtful input, because they'll have the chance to actually look at the draft report. Then, so if we can go to the next slide, please. What that means is that we would have the ability for the task force to have a discussion on Tuesday, October 13th, and finalize anything that we needed to, so that within the following 24 to 48 hours, we can make the necessary critical changes to submit the report, hopefully by the close of business the 14th, 15th at the latest. Cheryl and I will present that on the 21st. We will discuss it with the HITACH members. And then we will bring back their feedback here on the 27th, and that will enable us to figure out how to tie all of this up with a bow and formally submit it. Cheryl, I know you were going to go over those slides, but you couldn't see the slides' content. Would you like to add any narrative or encouraging words to the task force?
I would just like to say thank you for everybody who's participated in providing comments. For those of you that have not, and anyone that wants additional comments, please go to the document, make the changes that you're requesting in the narrative itself, not just in the comments, because then they might not actually make it into the version that we have to bring to HITACH. And then we would like to have all of those by the end of day on Thursday, so that we can work on our updated draft on Friday and then have that back to you for a next Tuesday final review. But make those comments in the narrative, and it will highlight your name. And if you'd like to add a few words about why you made a change, you know, be happy to do that as well. But we'll review those next week.
So I think that brings us to a conclusion. We're moving hard and fast. Thanks for all your efforts. Lauren, do you want to close us out?
Nothing else for me. Thank you, Alex. We'll meet again next week on the 13th. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.